Tous unis dans l'esprit, tous unis en Jésus, tous unis dans l'esprit, tous unis en Jésus. Nous prions que bientôt ce qui divise ne soit plus et le monde saura que nous sommes chrétiens par l'amour dont nos actes sont empreints. Nous marchons côte à côte et la main dans la main. Nous marchons côte à côte et la main dans la main. À la table du roi, nous partageons le même pain. Et le monde saura que nous sommes chrétiens par l'amour dont nos actes sont empreints.
Words from my song are in French. And what they mean is all united in spirit, all united in Jesus Christ. We pray that whatever divide us doesn't conquer us. By this one, everyone will know that we are his disciples if we love one another. This song I learned from my childhood came to my mind during my time at the Mennonite World Conference in Pennsylvania, as I saw two friends in my group, my small group, holding hands, something that they cannot do in their countries because they call themselves enemies. But in Christ Jesus, those barriers were broken. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, and thank you for being here this morning. We welcome you at Prairie Street Mennonite Church on this first Sunday of August as we reflect on our time at the General Assembly of Mennonite World Conference 2015 in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. This was a time when Mennonites and other Anabaptists from all over the world met to worship and celebrate diversity as a gift from God, reflecting on the theme Walking with God. We too this morning are gathered here to celebrate God who brought us from different cultures, tribes, backgrounds, and unites us in Christ Jesus. We welcome you who have been here for more than one Sunday, and we welcome those who are here for the very first time, and also those who listen to us on podcast. If you would like to visit our church, Prairie Street Mennonite Church is located on 1316 Prairie Street, Urquhart, Indiana. Please come and enjoy time with worship with us. Let us pray. Lord, you the God of all nation, you the God of all people, you the God of all of us here gathered this morning. We thank you as we gather here. We thank you as others around the world are gathered to thank you. We give you thanks, O Lord, for life. We give you thanks for this wonderful, beautiful day. We praise your name, Jesus, you the head of the church. We praise your name, O Lord, for your presence among us. We pray for the church, body of Christ, around the world. We pray for the church that you, for which you gave your life, O Jesus. We ask you to be the guide who brings us together in your presence. Thank you for this time that we are going to spend in this place. Dear Holy Spirit, we believe in your presence among us. We believe in the work that you are about to do this morning in this place. We believe that we are not going to leave this place as we came, but we are going to leave this place transformed. We are going to leave this place fully with your presence in our lives. Thank you for all. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.
And now if you'll turn to page 615, the same blue hymnal. Shall we gather at the river? And you may stand if you're able.
We have come at a time when we confess our sins and everything that keeps us away from God's presence. Our confession goes two ways. One being the global church, the church body of Christ, and the other being the world we're living in. During our worship, our gathering in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania for the Men of God Conference, among different speakers pondering on the theme Walking with God, Shant Kumar Kunjam, an Associated Maronite Biblical Seminary graduate and pastor in India, reminded us, the church, of how we need to love one another, saying, love includes reaching out to our enemies as well. We are incomplete without each other in a worldwide community of faith. We are called to serve and to do good to those outside the community of faith, he said. Now the question is, speaking of love, do we still love one another? Do we have room in the church for others? The other hand, speaking of the world we're living in, We missed many people who were planning to be with us in Pennsylvania at the Men I Wed conference just because their visas got denied. See how systems that we have established in this world can be a barrier, an obstacle to the body of Christ, to the kingdom of God, to people who like to come and worship God together. They cannot come just because of that. And most of the time that happens because we think others are maybe enemies, or we think we don't have enough room for others. So our world needs prayers. Think about this and please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we lower our heads before you and we confess that we have too often forgotten that we are yours and that we need to follow your rules, rules of love, forgiveness, supporting one another in the body of Christ. Sometimes we carry on our lives as if there was no God, and we fall short of being a credible witness to you. For these things, we ask your forgiveness, and we also ask for your strength. Our church needs you. Our world needs you. Give us clear minds and open hearts so we may witness to you in our world. Remind us to be who you would have us to be, regardless of what we are doing, of who we are with. Hold us to you and build a relationship with you and with those you have given us on earth. Friends, families, neighbors, and why not even enemies? Thanks for being the God of all, Lord of all. Thanks for your love. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Would you please stand up now and receive words of assurance? Sisters and brothers, God the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has mercy on us. God forgives our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us now live as people set free from sin by the power of the Holy Spirit. And let us share Christ's peace with one another, saying, peace of Christ be with you, and responding,
and also
share Christ's peace. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Ephesians, on its first chapter, verse 16 through 23. I read in the name of Jesus. I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power? God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head of all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
Estoy leyendo de Efesios 1, 16 al 23. Por esta causa también yo, después que supe de la fe de ustedes en el Señor Jesús y del amor que ustedes tienen para con todos los santos, no ceso de dar gracias por ustedes al recordarlos en mis oraciones. Para que el Dios de nuestro Señor Jesucristo, el Padre de gloria, les dé espíritu de sabiduría y de revelación en el conocimiento de Él. Pido también que Dios les dé la luz necesaria para que sepan cuál es la esperanza a la cual los ha llamado, cuáles son las riquezas de la gloria de su herencia en los santos y cuál la supereminente grandeza de su poder para con nosotros, los que creemos, según la acción de su fuerza poderosa, la cual operó en Cristo y lo resucitó de entre los muertos y lo sentó a su derecha en los lugares celestiales, muy por encima de todo principado, autoridad, poder y señorío, y por encima de todo nombre que se nombra, no solo en este tiempo, sino también en el venidero. Dios sometió todas las cosas bajo sus pies y lo dio a la iglesia como cabeza de todo, pues la iglesia es su cuerpo, la plenitud de aquel que todo lo llena a plenitud.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Palabra del Señor. Gracias a Dios.
Our preacher this morning is Pastor Nelson. He is going to bring out the word of God after he has been anointed to be the president of MENA World Conference last week in Pennsylvania and about to go for his sabbatical. So I hope you really pay attention to what he's going to say. Let's pray. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus this time that you're about to give us your word. We bring before you your servant, our Pastor Nelson, asking you to anoint him again and to fill him with your spirit so that he communicates life to your people, the church. We ask you, O Lord, to give us attention to keep this message and also to put it in practice. Be forever our God and let us be your children in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I do not cease to give thanks as I think of you, dear sisters and brothers, and the way you have supported and prayed for the work of the church this summer in Indianapolis with Indiana Michigan Conference, with Kansas City and Mennonite Church USA, with the Harrisburg Gathering and Mennonite World Conference. And I personally have felt your prayers and your support, and I am grateful. On Saturday morning a week ago, at the last day of the Mennonite World Conference assembly in Harrisburg, in the arena where 8,000 Mennonites from all over the world, from 60 countries and many languages, had worshiped all week, during break time in the aisle, a Lancaster County bishop approached me, a man I would imagine a few years younger than myself. In his hand was a shepherd's staff, complete with the crook. The bishop said that he has a friend named Calvin who is a prayer walker, a prayer walker. This is a man whose living is to install wooden floors, But his vocation is to pray for the renewal of the church and for leaders in the church. So he walks to places that feel significant, and he carries a staff, and he prays for the church as he goes, and he prays for leaders of the church. His longest walk of many walks, his longest walk was from Atlantic City to San Francisco. 5 years ago, the bishop said, Calvin called him, phoned him, and said that he had had a vision. He saw in his vision or dream or whatever it was, he saw thousands of Mennonite people in one great room. He thought it was Harrisburg, but he wasn't sure, he said 5 years ago. But he said at that event, the Spirit of God came upon these people, and I heard Christ say, I will speak to my Mennonite people, all gathered together in one place. Now, understand that Calvin is not a Mennonite. He prays for the Mennonite church. So more than 100 times, and you heard right, more than 100 times in the last 5 years, Calvin drove the 20 miles to Harrisburg, and he walked around the city of Harrisburg and prayed for whatever this was that was in his vision. Half a year ago, he saw in the newspaper that thousands of Mennonites were going to gather in Harrisburg from all over the world. He phoned the bishop. He said, this is it. This is what I told you about 5 years ago. Over the years, Calvin had had an Amish man in Lancaster County make shepherd staffs. I don't know how many he's made, but it's many. And as Calvin walks and prays, he asks God to take him to leaders in the church that God wants to call. And Calvin gives them a staff and says, God bless you. Go for your ministry. Calvin said that God told him for this thing in Harrisburg, get two staffs. Take one to a Mennonite congregation in Harrisburg. So he went to the Steelton Mennonite Church and gave it to the pastor, said, this is what God told me to do. And he was to await word on the other staff. Well, a few weeks ago, Calvin read in the newspaper that a Pennsylvania native was to be installed as president of Mennonite World Conference at Harrisburg. He knew this was the recipient. So he simply gave the staff to the bishop and had the bishop carry it to Harrisburg. And in the aisle at the arena, the bishop handed this to me and told the story. I asked the bishop immediately to give it to the worship planners for the evening and the other people in leadership in Mennonite World Conference. I said, this really should be presented on the platform at the time of the anointing or the installation. And then I would, I imagine, keep it for 6 years and I would pass it on to the next president. This is a good symbol. The previous evening, on Friday evening, I had the privilege of celebrating communion or helping to celebrate communion with that congregation of 8,000 Anabaptists from all over the world. Was anybody there? A few people were there, yes. All week, assembly had moved me to the core of my being. More than once I was in tears, just gratitude for the people of God and the joy and the energy and the praise of our Lord that was so heartfelt and free and exuberant. A book had been prepared with songs from around the world. I think Ellen has a copy here. There was a music group made up of singers from around the world who'd gotten together for a week and practiced. So they were leading us in what for me were mostly new songs, but they were songs we 8,000 could learn, and praises rocked through that arena. all week, morning and evening, people from every continent, more than 100 national bodies. This is not one denomination getting together in Harrisburg. This is 102 denominations, of which Mennonite Church USA is one. Dozens of languages, united in the presence of Christ, with a deep sense of commitment to the way of peace, a theme that came through again and again. How many times that week did I hear somebody say, "This is what heaven must be like. This is like a foretaste of heaven." And my thought was, no, this is actually the real thing. This is heaven. This is the presence of Jesus, the presence of God. Come down to earth. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it's something that I, by the way, feel in this congregation many times. I feel that presence of Jesus, and God is with us. On Friday evening a week ago, I stood at communion table along with Bishop Danisa Ndlovu of Zimbabwe, outgoing president of Mennonite World Conference. On my other side, outgoing vice president Janet Plennert, who is director of Mennonite Disaster Service Canada, and she also worshiped here for 2 years maybe while she was in seminary. It was an interesting thing at that communion table where two of the three were Prairie Street related people. The most moving moment of the week for me was holding the bread representing the body of Christ and saying, "This is the broken body of Christ for the broken body of Christ." There the global church was gathered in Pennsylvania, where the bishops had just voted unanimously to recommend to their people that Lancaster Mennonite Conference withdraw from Mennonite Church USA. I had come to Harrisburg right on the heels of the Kansas City gathering, where we also felt the pain of division. I should add about the Kansas City event that even though that event had elements of pain, I deeply experienced the presence of God at Kansas City. Most of all on that occasion at a discussion table, and there were 100 discussion tables in one room, 9 people typically at a table, and each table spent 20 hours together, 20 hours during that week. Sometimes we were hearing reports, but often we were discussing issues and learning to know each other. And at the table, and I had the privilege of being a discussion leader, so I was pretty alert all week what was going on. And my table was urban, one table, urban and rural, black and white, conservative and liberal, straight and gay, at one table. And we prayed together, and we wept together, and we loved each other that week. I did not hear one snarky, cutting comment the whole week. At the end of the week, there was embracing and love expressed all around that table. Jesus was present. We were gathered even in our conflict and our division. We deeply felt unity in Christ. More than one of the bishops of Lancaster Conference, these who had voted to withdraw at Harrisburg, approached me and blessed me with just a generous and warm, overflowing spirit. All of this mixture of joy and pain swirled through my spirit as I held the bread that represents the broken body of Christ. And I felt the presence of Christ in every fiber of my being. All the way to the nosebleed section of that arena, I could see the wonderful, diverse, colorful, broken body of Christ, and knew that it is Jesus that brings us together. Some denominations, some Christians, speak of the real presence of Christ at the communion table. And one way that this is understood in some traditions is that by the miracle of what theologians call transubstantiation, the bread and the cup literally actually become the body of Christ. You know, this right here, this bread, this is the body of Christ. This cup is the blood of Christ. And then once again, there is a sacrifice for our sins that opens the way for God, for us to have relationship with God. But Anabaptists said already in the 16th century, no, that's not the real presence. There's not something magical that happens to this bread and cup. The real presence is out here. This is the body of Christ. And the miracle of communion and the miracle of our fellowship in Christ is that Jesus is present in his people, and we together, by the grace and mercy of God, are the body of Christ. Earlier in Assembly Week, early in the week in Pennsylvania, I helped to lead a workshop with John Roth. I think there was 140 workshops going on. I mean, this is a massive project to keep all this together. So we just had in our tent maybe 150 people out of the large group. But John and I were leading a workshop on a project that John Roth has particularly headed up called the Bearing Witness Project. And the idea is that the Martyr's Mirror, this massive book that some of us have in our homes of martyr stories from the first century up through to what, 1685, many of them Anabaptist stories. This book did not close or should not be closed in 1685. There are people since then up until 2015 who are giving their lives for Christ, being martyred, or investing in costly discipleship. So there's a project to collect these stories. It's called Bearing Witness. And John and I were presenting on that. And we did an interview, sort of like the StoryCorps interviews on NPR, if you hear that. Did an interview with Adi Walujo of Indonesia. And his story briefly was this. The country of Indonesia, where the next World Conference Assembly will be in 2021, that country is the largest Muslim country in the world. Did you know that? I would have thought it was Saudi Arabia or someplace like that. No, it's Indonesia. And Christians at times come under persecution as a small minority. One day the Mennonites of his town, Adi's town, came to their church building and it was locked up. It was closed. And the city authorities had decided the Christians should not be worshiping there anymore. So the church worshipped right outside their church building. They just stood there and they had a worship service. Next Sunday, they came back and they worshipped outside in the parking lot. Third Sunday, and so on. They did that for 6 months. Adi said, we did that hot and cold, rain and shine, whatever. We were out there and we were worshipping right outside of our building. He said, after about 5 months, some of the neighbors said, why are these people standing out in the rain? Like, they have a building there. What's that about? So the Muslim neighbors went to the city authorities and said, why are these Christians worshiping out in the rain? They have their own building. And the Muslims appealed for the Christians to be able to be back in their space. The city officials relented. The Mennonites went back into their building. And Adi says with a chuckle, the whole neighborhood found out who we are. It was just the best thing that ever happened to us. They saw how we Christians conduct ourselves. On Saturday night at Harrisburg, at the end of a long and marvelous closing service, and by the way, you can watch and hear any of these services at the Mennonite World Conference website. And the video quality is pretty good. They had excellent coverage. At the end of that long and marvelous service, when the program was 45 minutes behind schedule and the bus engines and 60 buses were running out there ready to go, they finally got around to installing me as president. The stage person coordinating things whispered, you only have a few minutes. You can't take your 15 minutes like you were allotted. So I briefly presented two symbols that I said mean something to me as I take up this leadership. The first was this cross, which I wear today and wore at the installation. It was loaned to me by Black Mennonite pastor John Powell 2 days after the Charleston massacre, when he and I met at Indiana-Michigan Conference Assembly and together grieved the killing of 9 black congregants in South Carolina. And I said, this cross symbolizes Jesus' way of dealing with violence and hatred, and it's a symbol of reconciliation. And I present that to the church as our symbol in Christ. And the second is a shofar. And I took this shofar to Pennsylvania. No, I did not blow my own horn. Had a brass musician who could play this very well sound a few blasts from the back of the platform, and astonishingly, the way she played it anyway, it truly filled that hall. And I'm not nearly as good as her, but I'll give a toot or two here. And I said, that can represent for us the Word of God. So often the shofar, when it appears in the Scripture, seems to either represent or accompany the Word of God, the giving of instruction at Sinai, the beginning of the Jubilee year of economic justice, the return of Christ when all things will be united in our Lord. And there is in some parts of the church a famine for the Word of God. We need to hear God's Word written and living. And then the other thing I said in my few comments was briefly told a story about Prairie Street. And I said a young man died from violence in the Prairie Street church parking lot 18 months ago, just before Christmas. And I told about the misunderstanding that followed that event. You might recall we thought we were going to have our Christmas Eve service at 5 p.m. on Christmas Eve and then have a lament at 6 p.m. when our neighbors would come and join us in the parking lot to grieve the death of Devontae Patrick. But the television station, local station, advertised it wrong. And the 5 p.m. event was advertised as our lament. And so as we got together to celebrate and be happy over the birth of Jesus, part of this room was filled with our black neighbors, friends, family of Devontae, who thought they were coming for a lament. And there was hurt and confusion in the dissonance of that event. And I told how a month or two later, a black Christian woman, mother of the young man, embraced this white pastor and forgave. Reconciliation, I said, working across cultures or even working within our church, is hard, but it is central to who we are as Anabaptist people. We need to be reconciled to each other. And one of the speakers that last evening spoke very powerfully about relationships this way. We have restored relationship with God, which then restores and opens doors for us to relate this way to one another. This is the stance of Christian reconciliation. And I said that my vision for Mennonite World Conference is that before a watching world, we will be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, and we will model courageous acts of love and reconciliation with our neighbors and our enemies. If Mennonite World Conference people focus only on good fellowship, wonderful as that is, I said, we will be little more than a club. If we simply celebrate Anabaptist history, we're not looking to God's future. If we only practice the techniques of peacemaking without introducing others to the Prince of Peace, we lose the power of the resurrection. If we make numerical growth an end in itself, we become hucksters of the gospel. If we never get beyond the euphoria of worship, we will cease to be salt and light out in the world. If the trumpet gives an indistinct sound, who will get ready for the struggle? The clear sound we give is that God revealed himself in Jesus Christ, and we are reconciled to God. And on Easter morning, the world changed and our future changed, and that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we walk with God. We are ambassadors for Christ. We carry that good news of hope and restoration and inclusion. We carry that out into the world. I didn't know it, but Calvin the prayer walker was in the congregation that night of closing worship. I didn't meet him that night among all the people, so I phoned him on Friday of this week and thanked him for that gift and for his ongoing prayers, this man I've never met. And Calvin said on the phone, he said, "Nelson, I was blessed in that arena beyond anything I possibly could have hoped." He said, on the way home from Harrisburg, back to Loyola, he said, "I repented." I said, "Of what?" He said, "I repented. I had prejudged the Mennonites." He said, "I heard Christ speak at Harrisburg." And this is his words. "I heard him speak with holiness, energy, and love. The vision from 5 years ago became a reality. I saw it. It was true. Christ spoke to his Mennonite people." So what happened to that shepherd's staff? Calvin has it for the moment. He actually took it from the stage. I didn't even get the chance to meet him because he wants to inscribe this legend, the length of the staff. The legend will read, MWC, Mennonite World Conference, God's Mennonite people continuing the work that Jesus began through worship, service, peacemaking, and evangelism. I leave today from the picnic for a few months of sabbatical. I am weary and grateful. Grateful to God and grateful to you. After some physical rest and 5 or 6 days of family vacation, I want to focus on two things. I want to immerse myself in biblical geography and related biblical stories and have visits planned to many biblical sites and early church sites in Greece, Jordan, Israel, and the West Bank. Ellen will be with me for at least the Greece part of that. And I hope to write the first draft of a small book about these biblical sites, something a bit similar to what some of you may have seen on my Peace Pilgrim blog or in the column in Mennonite World Review. And secondly, I also want to read about Mennonites in other parts of the world. I want to immerse myself in literature about the global church. And I expect, as part of my Mennonite World Conference responsibilities this fall, to chair a week of meetings of the Mennonite World Conference officers in Curitiba, Brazil, in October. May you, sisters and brothers, in these months, deeply know the real presence of Christ. God is in this room. God is in this congregation. With the Apostle Paul, I say, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. And I pray that the eyes of your heart and my heart, the eyes of our heart, what a wonderful image, the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened so we may know what is the hope to which God has called us. Amen.
If you'll turn in your hymnals to page 545, Be Thou My Vision.
During the offering, we will be singing Sari Shristi Ke Malik Tumiho. This is a song from the conference from India. And I will sing the verses and then invite you, as you feel comfortable, to join in the chorus.
Srishti ki malik tumi ho, sari srishti ki rakshak tumi ho, karate hain tuko sada prainam, gate hain teri hai kunga, sari srishti ki malik. Sari Srishti ki rakshak tumi ho,
Give the benediction first so that we can all go out singing, because we have some walking songs to go out on. May you receive the benediction, and we especially think of Nelson today as we give this blessing. May God bless you and keep you. May the very face of God shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God's presence embrace you and give you peace. Amen.
If you will... Okay, I think I'm on. We're going to sing three different African songs. They're all walking songs that were used, I think, or at least in the songbook for Mennonite World Conference. You're going to need your purple book and your green book if you want to look at the words. They're going to be familiar, except that we're going to sing at least one time through in whatever African language they were written in. Killian has the numbers for you. Just show them the number one at a time. The first song will be in the green book, number 2. The next song is number 40 in the purple book. And the last song is 72, I think, right? Is that right? 72 in the green book. So you have to flip. You're going to know, most people prepared, so you're going to be familiar with most of these. And we'll do our best to try to direct you through them. Here we go. First one is Hamba Nathi.